Joining me now in the studio is Lori Severance. Lori Severance is with Sayosaw Valley Fire and Rescue. She works for the community support team that is currently there. Recently, Lori, an influx of money has come through the county to kind of build on that support team. Tell me a little bit about that and how that works into what we're already doing here in Florence.
Okay. There's been a team for about a year now working over at Peace Health. We've been meeting at Peace Health. It's a group of first responders and social service agencies here in town. And we have been working to put together a proposal for a mobile mental health crisis team. It's something that's mandated in Lane County, and a lot of people have heard of CAHOOTS over in Eugene. Excellent program that's been established for 30 plus years. And it's something that's lacking here. So we were looking at trying to put together that type of a program because this money was available. And there's a big problem here with we have a small emergency department, we have a small jail, and that's where people end up when they're in crisis. If police have to respond to a mental health crisis out in the community, if it can't be de-escalated quickly there at home, they typically end up a lot of times in the emergency department. And that's not necessarily, you know, what the people need. They need someone to lend an ear, someone to provide services, someone to hook them up with what it is that they need. So the thought of this program is that we would be able to provide those services on site, you know, 24/7 as people need it, in order to avoid, unnecessary placement in the ER or in the county jail.
Now, what are the issues, though, that comes up is the fact that we're talking about people that have had a crisis issue that was public or that was known by police or fire or ambulance. Is there anything in this program that will kind of help those that may not go through such a public crisis?
At this point, no. We will be dispatched by the police department, by dispatch, if someone calls in to 911 or if first responders respond to any kind of emergency in our community and then see a need for this kind of service, then they can contact us. But at this point, there's not like a hotline or there's no outpatient, per se, services. It's basically based on when someone calls in or someone, a first responder in the community, identifies a crisis.
I believe, and you correct me if I believe the amount was $300,000.
Just under
$300,000.
Mm-hmm, yes.
What does that money need to go to make this team work? Is there facility stuff you need? Are there equipment? Is there vehicles? What is this money going to be? Because I understand a lot of this is volunteer, correct?
Actually, it's now going to be a paid position. Yes,
okay.
Which is really nice. It's now a paid position. We're going to get a vehicle, and there'll be no expense for that. It's going to come out of the county pool through the police department.
So that'll be separate from the amount of money.
There'll be no expense connected with that. But there are some things, some equipment kinds of things we need to have set up. Mostly what it's going to is some pay for the staff. They are also funding a full-time social worker in the emergency department at Peace Health, so that when we go out weekends, middle of the night, someone needs specific services that aren't on call 24/7, which most of them aren't in our community, we send a referral to that emergency room social worker who will then call, follow up in the morning, and get them hooked up with services. So that's a huge advantage for us, is having that full-time person to kind of manage the parts that we can't accomplish after hours.
Is there a need, too, for volunteers in this program?
Absolutely.
What kind of background or what kind of – is it just a willingness to help, or is there a certain requirements that a person or certain things that a person needs to have in their skill set in order to be a volunteer for a crisis management team?
A little bit of both. I mean, the willingness to help, of course, is huge. After hours, middle of the night, you might get calls at 3 a.m. in the rain. You got to be willing to jump up and go. So that is something that's, you know, doesn't work for everybody. But also in terms of skill set, we're looking at people that have some kind of crisis management background, some kind of counseling or social service background, someone who can, we provide pretty extensive training, but, you know, you have to be willing to work and comfortable working in a non-traditional setting, out on the street, in someone's home, spur of the moment, good at assessing what's going on and what's needed, that kind of thing. So anyone with any kind of counseling background or social service background, we have some people with no background but are very eager and willing to be trained. So,
and I notice sometimes you come across that person with none of that background that just knows what to say at the right time.
Yes.
And that, I would imagine, is probably a skill that you cannot teach necessarily.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So if someone out there is listening and says, well, you know, I've been in a situation before where I've helped people, you know, that might be something to consider if you're wanting to volunteer.
We don't turn anyone away. We look
we'll
at everyone.
We'll find something for them to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll find something for them to do.
So what is the time frame for getting this program to full operation?
Well, the way the grant's written, we kind of have this first year to kind of get up and running fully. But, you know, we're going to be starting November 1, kind of, you know, baby steps. We've been doing some training with Cahoots over in Eugene. They've been training us in their model, which is an excellent model. We've had some trainers come in from California that just left last week. And so we're hitting the training part of it pretty hard right now. We have always responded to, you know, fires or sudden death, you know, medical emergencies, but this new mental health component is brand new. So we're up and getting trained. My background is in this kind of work. So the first 90 days at least, I will be going on calls with our people to kind of just help and do some further training and teaching. But we're going to start taking calls. We're going to meet with the fire department, the police department, EMS, different agencies, let them know we're out there. This helps. to letting people know we're out there and how we can be reached, what kinds of calls we respond to. And, you know, then we'll take it from there.
Obviously, we've our community, for one reason or another, has been a community that has suffered more than their fair share, I think, of probably suicide. And, of course, we've had some issues with that. Something in me, and I may be totally wrong, and we may have to cut this out if I say it and you, like, get shocked look on your face. But something in me has always said that that person who really wants to commit suicide is going to do it. There's the kind that have a scream for help that you can help.
Yes.
And then there's the ones that don't ever cry for help. They know what their plan is and they're going to follow it through. How do you, I guess if you respond to, you know, a potential suicide situation, that's probably one of those calls for help usually?
Not always.
Not always.
I mean, sometimes family picks up on cues that alert them and alarm them and they'll call us. But I think when someone is, I agree with you that when someone is intent on ending their life, that there's not a darn thing you're going to be able to do about that, to intervene with that. However, most people that are suicidal and people who have made serious attempts that have been interviewed talk about this, that in reality, they wanted the pain to stop. They were in a lot of pain. They wanted the pain to stop, but they really didn't want to die. They just didn't see an option in terms of getting the pain to stop. So,
right. And we're not necessarily talking physical. It could be emotional
pain.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Oftentimes, it's emotional pain. So if you can reach that person, and, you know, a lot of times they'll talk about they don't feel like anyone cares. They think their family would be better off without them. Things that are not true, but in their distorted thinking at that time, that's what they believe. So if you can get to one of those people who, you're right, oftentimes are not verbal about it and don't let people know, if we can identify them before they make a lethal attempt, then a lot of times you can help get them to where they need to be in terms of services and help and that kind of thing to prevent
giving,
this from
giving
happening.
Them a different perspective of what their life could be like, you know,
yeah.
if they get help.
Yes, yes, and getting them the help right away that they need. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, when people talk about they don't really want to die. They just want the pain to stop, and they don't know how else to do it. So we, you know, if people notice signs and they let us know, they get us involved, or you know, get them help in any form. Sometimes that can be prevented.
Well, you know, there are still compassionate people on this planet that are willing to help people. You
yes.
might not recognize it sometimes because there's an influx of discompassionate people sometimes out there that we hear more often about. But this sounds like a great program for Western Lane County, and I'm assuming you will pretty much take up wherever Sayosa Valley Fire covers and Western Lane Ambulance covers. Is that pretty much the territory?
So the first year of the program, because it is a pilot program, we are only going to cover Florence proper.
Okay.
And that's because we have Florence PD to be there with us. Because we will be going out solo, mm-hmm. unlike Cahoots, who has a double team program. Since we'd be going out alone, there's always a safety issue. So the first responders, either police, EMS, or fire, would be on scene with us until we can assess enough that we realize it's a safe situation and they
right.
can move on. We don't have that kind of coverage in the county because, as we know, Sheriff's Department has to come over from Eugene.
We got two guys sometimes.
Here. Right, yeah. Sometimes. And so a lot of times it's an hour, 2 hours before they can respond. So the first year, we're just going to cover Florence. Second year, they've actually worked in funding for an additional sheriff officer who would mostly just cover Western Lane County, help us on these calls, and be available for quick response. So at that point, we will expand out to Deadwood, Mapleton, you know, the greater Western Lane County.
Because I wonder, you know, I mean, if a critical situation comes up on the north side of Aceta Beach Road,
right.
you know, I mean, that's county.
Right.
You know,
right.
and
yes.
it could be, it's like your next door neighbor.
Right.
You're in the city and across the street, you know.
Yes.
And that must be difficult.
Yes,
you know.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate, you know. And if we can have, if first responders are out there and will stay with us, you know, that's one thing. But if it's outside of like police jurisdiction yeah. and it requires police response.
Yeah, because fire and ambulance might be there as
right,
well
right.
without it being
in the
police.
City. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of the parameters of the program are going to kind of get defined as we go along because this is brand new to us. So this is how we have it defined at this time. And, you know, we'll see how things lay out. So
does the program have an official name?
The contract has deemed it the Mental Health Mobile Crisis Response. So it's MHMCR. But we're just, I mean, it's under
right.
the community support team.
Right.
So it's a component of what we're doing now. It's a new component. But CST, community support team, is a lot easier to to right. refer to. So.
Lori Severance, thank you so much for your time and keep doing
thank
what you're
you.
Doing.
Thank you.
Next up, I'll be talking with Andy Verboer from Travel Lane County about the Dune Restoration Project, which has hit a few snags in recent times with some of the designations of endangered species that are now living in the dune grass.